What I want to share with you about today is social anxiety. My mind sometimes floats off into strange directions, like, you know, thinking of just weird things, you know. That's why I find Stephen Wright so funny. He is just, he's the master of observing things and sort of putting a weird spin on it. And so I was thinking about this time of social distancing, and that right now we are supposed to be distancing ourselves from one another. And I know there's a lot of people who suffer from social anxiety, who really get tense and anxious around other people. And I would count myself among them, that when I get among other people, sometimes one-on-one, sometimes in small groups. The interesting thing is there are two times when I never feel that. Number one is when I'm on a stage speaking, and number two is when I'm doing these jump starts. So, and when I'm alone, of course. But when I'm around other people, sometimes I have this uncomfortable, this anxiety. Now, let's go back to what the word anxiety means. Anxious or anxiety is a fear over an uncertain future. Let me say that again. Anxiety is a fear over an uncertain future. Now, why do other people make us fear an uncertain future? Because other people are an X variable. Other people are always an uncertainty. You never quite know. You think you do, but you never quite know when a person is going to move or change or go in a different direction other than what you expected. And I've also noticed that with myself, because as I've shared with you, one of the great benefits of my childhood is my sense of humor, and I am really funny on stage. The challenge, though, is sometimes I don't know how to stop joking when I'm around other people to try and make myself almost like I'm on stage to make myself feel comfortable, when actually I feel anxious because of an uncertain future. And in my case, sometimes I'm worried that I'm going to say something. The word would be, I don't want to use the word for myself, stupid. Say something that might, the person, the reality is, say something that I mean one way and the other person takes another way, because there's such a long ocean between the message being sent and the message being received sometimes. Sometimes there's, and it's amazing to me sometimes how I will say something to my daughter and she'll start responding, or she'll say something to me, my daughter Leah, and I'll start responding. And what I realize is we are really talking about something totally different. And so I feel sometimes even anxious when we start to talk about something, because I have a certain fear about that. I wonder if you do too. Ask yourself if, you know, maybe even when somebody walks into your office or you get an email or a phone call or something like that. So I know that I do. And I know that social anxiety is a thing, and I don't want to diminish it in for anyone. I also know, though, that the more comfortable I am with myself, the more comfortable I am with other people, regardless of their actions, reactions, or interactions. And so the important thing for me is to feel more and more comfortable with who I am around other people. And one of the best ways to do that is to make sure that I'm taking the focus off of myself and putting it on the other person. Now, everything we were talking about, Norman Vincent Peale, we are going to talk about the two most important personal development books ever written, I guess, today. We started out with Norman Vincent Peale unexpectedly, and to now we're going to talk about come on, Will. Yeah, oh, this is okay. I'm totally cool. The I keep thinking of The Unlimited Power of Positive Thinking, and the other one I'm trying to think of is Think and Grow Rich. That's another thing I've discovered. Give yourself permission to not remember things, and they're far more likely to come back. When we get upset with ourselves, they run away. So Think and Grow Rich. I want to talk about that with regards to this idea of dealing with other people. But how we focus on our relationships with other people, what we tell ourselves, which is what Think and Grow Rich is about, what we tell ourselves about other people is what is going to dictate how we treat other people in those relationships. So it's so important for us to affirm in our minds things that we appreciate about those other people rather than things that are disheartening or upsetting. So I also want to talk about how to win friends and influence people, because I've been listening to that book over and over and over again lately. And here's the deal. Social anxiety is normal to an extent. Someone told me about a study that was done, and they realized that every time human animals, primates, us, you know, Homo sapiens, get together, there's a little bit of anxiety. Why? Because human beings present that X factor. Somebody could be unreliable, they could say something critical, hurtful, or you never know who's going to be dominant in the social setting and who's going to contribute, et cetera, et cetera. So there's always shock in initial social settings. You'll notice if you haven't been around somebody for a while, when you first get with them, you'll be very, very excited, but then you just quite almost don't know what to do with the whole thing until you start to fit into a group. And the same is true when you get around people. So when you go back to work, what I want to give you is some tips on how to make yourself feel less socially anxious if you ever experience that, and to also understand that there are people who do experience that and possibly be more supportive of them. So here we go. Number one, I want to invite you to ask questions. Don't assume answers. Ask questions. Don't assume answers. The other day, we had a speaking client send us something about, I know what it was. I've got an event scheduled in September, and they're not even sure they want us gear back up for having their event by then, but they do want to have it. They want to have it as a virtual thing. They still want me to keynote, and they want to know if I can keynote from the road while I'm traveling in a hotel room. And we assumed they wanted to know something. And then they asked us about the contract. And we assumed they wanted us to change the contract. And really all we needed to do was to ask, do you want us to change the contract? Because they had mentioned it. But we assumed we knew, and we crafted this great response, you know, in a meeting of what we were to say and everything. And then finally it occurred to one of us, I don't remember, I don't think it was me, somebody says, you know what, we really don't even know what they want. And the same is true of other people. The assumptions that we make are the challenges that we live out with. So begin to answer, to ask questions rather than assume responses. Another thing I want to invite you to do is to begin to put the focus on other people. Your anxiety, it will go away. I've got lights here. I've got lights lighting the background. I've got lights lighting me. Right? And yet, so the rest of the room is a bit dark, right? You want to imagine that the other people you tend to put in the dark room because you're always focusing on yourself. Now, you may be looking at them and going, But inside, you're possibly thinking, what are they thinking about me? What are they thinking about me? What are they thinking about me? Often, social anxiety is about, am I okay? Am I okay? What are they thinking about me? And I don't want to turn it around and start thinking, what am I thinking about them? But I want to know, what are they thinking about? You see what I mean? What are they thinking about? In other words, I want to know, what's up for them? How are you feeling today? What's going well for you? One of the things that we always do in our meetings, whether it's me and my assistants, and I have three of them, one in Serbia, one in Philippines, one in Kenya, and my daughter works with me full time. And so one of the things that we always do at the beginning of meetings is a social check-in. And I make it a formal thing. They don't. But what I do is for the first several minutes, I just ask them about themselves. I made sure I know their children's names. I know spouses' names, and I always ask about them. Do they ask about me? Not always. And if they don't, I tell them a little bit because I want to connect on a personal level. I want to connect on that personal level, and mostly I want to put the focus on them. I want to know that I care about them. It's funny, the more I show my employees that I care about them, the more they just figure stuff up out and come out with initiatives and do things sometimes they don't want to bill me for. It's amazing. And the great thing is I stay in integrity. This is not a manipulation move. This is about I really do care about them. And there are benefits to that. So another thing about social anxiety. One, focus on seeing yourself calm in situations. So many times it's the fear of the fear that makes us afraid. I forget who said it. That is probably a better way of putting it. It just sort of came to me. But the fear of the fear is what makes us afraid. It is, it's not the plane travel that makes us afraid. It's the time leading up to it because we're afraid of the plane travel. And the same is true for being with people. We need to begin to feel comfortable around people and less socially anxious. And the way we do that is to, number one, see it, and number two, take the focus off of ourselves and put it on other people. Let me connect with you all and see what some of your comments are. I think the power of positive thinking has been translated into 40 languages. Miles Cathy, my good buddy from Houston, is here with us this morning. Linda Farrell, Napoleon Hill. Thank you. Yes, as I was dancing around with that. Heather Gamberg, I'm always joking to get people to like me. It's hard to stop. You know what? There's a time for it and a place for it. It's always our motivation behind it. You know, for me, sometimes it's, I can't be quiet and comfortable and just be present with you in this moment. So I need to try and be funny. My dad was the same way. So you're right. It is difficult to stop and it isn't always necessary. It's a blessing. So it just depends on where it comes from. Oops, life is easier when you don't care. Getting old, Will? Miles says getting old. Yes. Miles, you keep affirming that. I just keep getting better. Miles and I, what's a long story? Snow skiing, etc. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Will's book is the Bible for the one most important principle. Thank you, Charlie. You are the man. My daily calendar reminder is to be responsive, not an anxious presence. Great. Jill Went Spry says, great point about shifting the focus related to social anxiety, special check-ins. Hi from the Philippines, says Raleigh. So thank you all. Thank you for your comments. There was one more thing I want to give you, and that is that I want to give each and every one of you, and before that, let me just, because I like to try this, and I got a few more little things. I don't want to overdo this, I promise you, but the idea to say thank you once again to Vicki Roby, who shared my daily jumpstart, and she received a Will Bowen tumbler, which is the greatest invention of all time. As I say, why is that? Because it thinks it keeps hot things hot, and it keeps cold things cold, and somehow it knows the difference. So be sure and share today's jumpstart. You very well could win a Will Bowen tumbler. All right, I feel weird saying that, but it also feels kind of cool. So I want to leave you with one last thing, and that is I want to gift you 15 forgiveness tokens, okay? 15. So imagine that you have an account, and I'm giving you this morning and every morning, okay? It's almost like you told, and I don't want to say my Amazon assistant's name because she'll start talking to me. But I want to gift you, and it's going to go off every morning, 15 forgiveness tokens. Now, what do you do with those? When you're driving into work and somebody cuts you off, now there's a difference between somebody cutting in front of you, by the way, and someone cutting you off. Cutting you off, if you got to hit your brakes, in your mind, think about, I'm giving them a forgiveness token. I'm giving myself, this is another way to overcome social anxiety. Because so often we walk around with irritation about other people. Imagine, you know what? You believe this politically and I believe that politically and you insist on giving your views and I'm not really going to, you know, what's the old thing? Try and teach a pig to sing. It'll waste your time and annoys the pig. I'm not going to get involved in that. So forgiveness token. And I think that 15 forgiveness tokens should get you through the day. So imagine that I've given them to you. And if you want to overcome social anxiety, you've got to overcome irritation at other people being other people. I mean, just that's the stuff they're made up of. So remember, be forgiving, be understanding. Make sure that you focus on the idea and see yourself as being comfortable. That's part of my meditation, actually, is I will play and replay experiences where I visualize myself feeling happy, feeling comfortable, and saying nice, kind, constructive, rather than mean and destructive things, either aloud or even in my head, because it's all a choice. Yes, it is. It is all a choice. A good friend of mine used to say that he would sometimes get angry at his brother and ball up. This was not me and my brothers, by the way, even though I was a middle child. This guy was the middle child, and he would always get balled up like he's going to hit his younger brother. And his mother one day pointed out, I notice you don't do that to your big brother who plays defensive tackle on the football team. And she said, it's a choice. You get to choose. So understand that we all feel a little awkward being around other people. It's normal. It is normal. In fact, it's healthy. When people get together, it's almost like dogs sniffing each other. They want to make sure everybody's okay. And then they settle into a rhythm. So when you return to work or when you're working with other people, number one, expect healthy relationships. Number two, put the focus on the other person. And number three, while you're focusing on the other person, if you see things you don't like, cash in a forgiveness token. Allow that person to be who they are, where they are, because that's the only thing they can be. All right? Listen, everybody, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you once again for those of you who continue to share this on a daily basis. Real quick, Monica Wood says, oh, I don't want to miss this. We should be like the Tumblr. If you meet someone hot or someone cold, just adapt to them. It's not about us. Charlie, as usual, I'm going to steal that from you. Monica says, good morning. Vicky says, always our choice. Patty says, what advice do you have for dealing with people who are socially anxious? And Mary says, hi from Rochester, New York. By the way, I'm not going to skip over it. Patty, thank you for asking me a question. That's the real benefit of us being here live together on a daily basis, is so that you can ask me questions. Number one, when you're dealing with someone who is socially anxious, understand that that is how they are and do your best to put them at ease. You can in social situations. Now, if you're talking about, I presume you're talking about somebody with whom you are in social situations with as well. Now, I don't know exactly who that is, but one of the things that I would do is try to figure out what that person's love language is. Check out the book, The Five Love Languages. Mine is words of praise and affirmation. You can buy me a car, but if you don't tell me I'm great and handsome and everything else, yep, this is, you may say, oh, that's so shallow. No, it's not. It's my love language. Okay, you can pet me and touch me all day long. I like it very much, and it's like my secondary love language, but I need to hear that. So if you can discover what makes that person, what soothes that person, and it can be as simple as a touch, if they're a touch person, if this is an appropriate relationship, family matter, a family member, got it, okay. If you can try and figure out what soothes that person in situations, and try and give it to them. Just touch them. Put a little bit of shine on them. They are probably sitting there wondering, what's everybody thinking of me? So affirm them. That would be my advice. Give them affirmation. If it is words of affirmation, lean over and tell them that they look nice. Compliment their clothes. It's always okay to compliment someone's clothes unless it's like a man complimenting his top or skirt. Best thing to compliment, I find, is if it's a man, compliment his shirt. Women often like to have their shoes complimented. They don't feel quite so creepy. So anyway, that would be my suggestion. And do me a favor. If you would like me to address a question here on the Daily Jumpstart, post it in this facebook.com/Will Bowen page. I read it all the time, and I'll address it. And we'll have more time to really get into it. Okay, I can back send you back questions, etc. Lynn Ballone says, another good book for relationships is Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. You know, that is absolutely true. That is a great book. And I'm going to leave it at that. It really is. I have nothing but praise for that book. Wonderful book. Thank you all for being here with me this morning. I'll be with you live again tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Any comments or suggestions, if you like the new lighting and you like the new logo. Whoops, wrong side. See, I can't even tell it. Logo's on the other side. And as I say goodbye, I'm going to see if I can share one more thing with you. Everybody have a great day, and I'm going to give this.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint.